This is one of those rare opportunities where I'm going to invite you to be seated to receive the word this morning.
Scripture reading, John 8 through 39 through 41, 44 through 47, 51 through 53, 56 through 59. They answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing what Abraham did. But now you are trying to kill me, a man who has told the truth that I have heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are indeed doing what your father does." They said to him,
"We are not illegitimate children. We have one father, God himself."
Jesus said,
"You are from your father, the devil. You chose to do your father's desires. There is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks according to his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is from God hears the words of God. The reason you do not hear them is that you are not from God. Very truly I tell you, whoever keeps my word will never see death."
The Jews said to him,
"Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say, whoever keeps my word will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? The prophets also died. Who do you claim to be?"
Jesus said,
"Your ancestor Abraham rejoiced that he saw my day. He saw it and was glad."
Then the Jews said to him,
"You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?"
Jesus said to them,
"Very truly I tell you, before Abraham was, I am."
So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple.
And that is the word of God for the people of God. And the people of God said, "Thanks be to God. And thank you for reading." Pray with me. Oh, gracious God, we love you so much. Thank you for your word. And we ask now only that your spirit would lead and guide this time of worship. That you would speak clearly and we would hear clearly. We ask it that you would be honored and glorified in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. If you recall, last week we did the first 11 or 12 verses of the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John. So today we pick up the end of the Gospel of John in the 8th chapter. There's a lot that takes place between the 1st and the 59th verse. But the majority of what you heard in today's reading is largely a debate, an argument, a confrontation that turns really, really ugly at the end. How ugly did it get? In verse 59, they're ready to what? Killing. They're ready to kill him. That's how ugly the confrontation becomes. So it's helpful for you and I to go back to the beginning of the very first verse of the 8th chapter and just kind of remember where we are. Last week, the text says that the crowds had come to Jesus, and the crowds are all over the place. And Jesus is teaching the crowds. The teachers of the law bring in the woman that they say they caught in adultery. Jesus has his words with them. They put their rocks down. They leave. And he says to her, "You're free to go. They don't condemn you. I don't condemn you. You're free to go. You're just free to go." That same crowd saw that. The crowd that's in today's reading were there. They saw teachers of the law, woman in adultery. They were stunned and shocked. They're even more stunned and shocked by Jesus' words to them. They're just blown away that he lets her go like that. That same crowd is the very crowd that's speaking in today's reading. It's the same folks. So Jesus goes on between verses about 12 to 38, obviously, and he has dialogue with them, and then it takes us into our reading for today. In that dialogue with them, Jesus says to them, "Yeah, you know what? My word will set you free too. You saw the woman leave. My word will set you free. And they say to him, wait a minute. Are you serious? We don't need you to set us free from anything. We're the children of Abraham. We're not enslaved to you, and we're not enslaved to anything. Our father is Abraham. We don't need you to come here and try to set us free from anything. We got it. We know. And then it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And finally, Jesus says to them, your father's the devil. And a few verses later, they say to him, now we know you have a demon. Now, you know, when people are having conflict and controversy and are kind of arguing with each other, those kind of words, when we hear those, it's like, not a big deal, actually. I mean, we've said worse things than that to people. And we've heard people confronting each other who have spoken a lot worse than that. But in Jesus' day, with these people, this is serious stuff. You didn't say to someone in Jesus' day, your father's the devil. Those are fighting words. And you know they're fighting words. Why? Because what were they going to do in verse 59? They're looking for the stones. They're looking for stones because now they want to kill him. Because the confrontation has got just that heated. This is high, high level confrontation. Do you remember first four chapters of the Gospel of John are all about who is Jesus, yes? Chapters 5 to 10 or 12, depends on how you want to look at it, are all about then how the people will deal with who Jesus is. And this is a great illustration of how poorly some of the people are dealing with who Jesus is. It's just a continuation, and it just continues to show us how things are going. Not very well. But as it happens, in this dialogue, there's an incredibly important thing that takes place, and it is the insight to a hidden spiritual equation. And it's right at the very get-go. You heard it right at the very beginning. And this is the equation. This is very simplistic. The characteristics of the believer equal, or we strive to have them equal, because, you know, we're not going to be perfect like Jesus is perfect. So we strive to have them to be equal to the characteristics of our God. So, if Yahweh is my God, Old Testament, yes, then the characteristics I demonstrate in my life should be equal to, they're never going to be exactly, because I'll never be as good as Yahweh, obviously, and neither will we, yes, should be equal to Yahweh's characteristics. New Testament. My characteristics as a Christian should be equal to the characteristics of my Father in heaven as modeled for me by Jesus, as reminded to me daily by the Holy Spirit. Make sense so far? That's where we're at. So what's in the text then? In the text they say to Jesus, Abraham is our father. Abraham's our father. What are you talking about? Abraham's our father. Now listen, they're not saying Abraham is their God. They're saying Yahweh is Abraham's God. We're the children of Abraham. Thus, our God is his God, which is Yahweh. And as certainly as Abraham fulfilled certain roles in his life and particular manners and characteristics and ways that was modeled from Yahweh and honored Yahweh, then to this crowd needs to live the very same lifestyle and the very same morals and the characteristics and the attitude and all that stuff of who? Abraham. Because they're saying we're children of Yahweh through our father Abraham. Make sense? Jesus says, you're nuts. You're just crazy. Listen, if you were Abraham's children, there's the other side of the equation. They said, we're equal to, and he said, if you were, you would do what Abraham did. Not what you want to do. Because he already knows. Jesus already knows what's going to be said in the verse 59. Yes, he already knows that they will pick up stones to try to kill him, and he slips away. He already knows that. And so he's saying to them, you're going to try and kill me. Is that what your Old Testament, is that what the Torah says about Abraham, your father? No. So the equation, you guys are out of the equation. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. That takes us to a very critical question. In verse 51, he says to them, you know what? Whoever keeps my word, they'll never die. And this just makes them go crazy. They just go nuts. 53, they say, are you greater than our father Abraham? Are you crazy? He died. All the prophets, you know what the prophets did? They died. Abraham, prophets, they intimately connected to one another, intimately connected to Yahweh. Yahweh, listen, Abraham, prophets, Yahweh, they're all connected intimately with one another, and Abraham and the prophets all died. But you say that if we listen to you, we'll never taste death? Who are you? That's the critical question. Who do you claim to be? They didn't say it very nice because they weren't feeling very nice. Who do you think you are? The reason that's a critical question, because we all have to answer that. Oh, it's a critical question because we all do answer that. You answered it this morning when you decided to get up, take a shower, get dressed, come to church. Who are you? Children of our Father in heaven, through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit that drove you, prompted you to get up, take a shower. Come worship him today. We all answer that question. But the problem is that sometimes who we claim to be may not be so much who we really act like. Now, I'm not talking about you. And I'm not talking about the choir. I'm just talking about me. Sometimes the way I act is just really not who reflective of who I say I claim to be. Child of the Father, through Jesus, empowered to be so through the Holy Spirit. So we bring the Jews in and we say, hey, who do you guys claim to be? They said, children of Abraham, God himself. And what about your actions? 40 says, but Jesus, in verse 40, Jesus said, you're trying to kill me. Is this what Abraham did? Seriously, is this what you say? But, you know, look at your actions. 41, he says to them, you're indeed doing just what your father does. You want to know who you are. I can tell you who you are. You're doing just what your daddy does. And then in 44, he says who their daddy is. He says, your dad's the devil. And you're choosing. Important word. They're choosing to do their daddy's work. And then he goes on to elaborate exactly what that work is. He says, he's a murderer. What do they want to do in verse 59? Kill him. He says, your daddy's a murderer. You're doing his work. He doesn't stand in the truth. And they can't stand the truth. And they can't stand in the truth with one another and with him. He says he's a father of lies. And they're lying to themselves. Just lying to themselves. And so everything is just there for them. To say to them, you think you're Abraham's kids, but you know what? You're not showing it. They would say they're children of God through God's covenant with Abraham. But it's not true in this particular instance because they're just not living out the life, the morals, the promises, all that good stuff of Abraham. They're just not doing it. They're just not doing it. So now the critical question comes around to me. Who do you claim to be? And my answer is, I am a child of my Father in heaven. Through Jesus Christ, empowered to do the best I can every day by the Spirit of God that lives within me. Amen. That's who I am. There's a little glitch here. Sounds pretty good, but it's only true. It's only true when I face the struggle to live the way Christ wants me to live and be the person he wants me to be. When I drop the ball on that, then how can I say, in that instance, that's who I am? In that instance, it's all about me now. About me, not my Father. Whole things change. So what are the life and morals promises of Jesus? That we are. I want to show you a few of them from the text. I want to show you a few of them at random, and then we'll be done. We'll be done? Are you serious? Yes, it's so early. you just keep believing that. Oh, see, there you go. There, perfect example. See, that probably wasn't the complete honest truth. Well, let's just go on. Verse 43, he says to the crowd, if God were your Father, you would what? Love me. We love Jesus. We love Jesus. Because we're children of God through Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit. We love Jesus. We love Jesus. Now, I'm telling you that we love Jesus, but I got to tell you, as I look at your faces, I'm not seeing any smiles. I'm not seeing any nodding heads. I'm just seeing like, oh, we do? We do? We love Jesus. We love Jesus. That's who we are. We love Jesus, for heaven's sakes. You can say it. We love Jesus. 45, he says, because I tell you the truth. Ooh, the truth. In the Gospel of John, he said, I am the way, the truth, the life. We live in the truth. We don't live in deception. We don't live in lies. We live in the power, Holy Spirit, yes, the power of the truth fills our lives, and that's how we live life. In the truth of God. Not our little truths, because we all have our own little goofy truths. We live in the truths of God. The divine truth. The capital T. Truth, capital T, the truth. 47, whoever belongs to God hears what God says. I belong to God. I hear what he says. Most of the time. I try to do what he says. Most of the time. But don't you see? That's who I am. Because I belong to God. I'm a child of God through Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit to actually try to do as best I can what I hear God say to me to do through the Spirit who lives in me. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. Now here's some more. Romans 3:20. You know what? We could spend days looking up scriptures that tell us who we are. I just want to show you a few more. Romans 3:24, all are justified. You've been justified. When he died on that cross, he died for your sins, my sins, and those sins have been forgiven, and I have been what? Justified. I've been forgiven of my sins. I've been justified. Justice has come to me through the cross of Christ, and there is no condemnation over my heart for the sins that I've confessed. Because he died, and I'm justified. I live a justified life. I've been forgiven. I've been forgiven. And you know what that means? I do with you and with other people and even with the choir. I They caught it from you. Don't laugh at them. I forgive. That wasn't hard. I'm forgiven. I forgive. I don't always forgive right away, and I don't always forgive very well, but I try to forgive. 1 Corinthians 1:2, those sanctified in Christ. Once I've been justified, I move into sanctified grace, and that's where the rubber meets the road, and I do my very best, as you do your very best, to allow the Spirit of God to guide and lead my life and continue to love Jesus, forgive people, honor him in the way I live my sanctified life. That's who we are. That's who we are. Galatians 3:28, there's not a Jew or a Gentile, a slave, free, man, woman, whatever. We're all what? One. We're all one. That means we're all equal. That means ain't nobody better than nobody else. Don't matter how much money you got. Don't matter how much money you don't have. It don't matter what kind of new car you drove. Don't matter what kind of piece of junk you drove up in today. Don't matter what kind of boat you got or you don't have, golf clubs you have. You don't have old golf clubs. You got new golf. It don't matter. It don't matter what kind of clothes you wore. It just don't matter. It don't matter if you got them from the thrift store. It don't matter if you got them at Penny's. It don't matter because we're all one. It's all one. It just doesn't matter. In the eyes of God, we're all one. One, one. So when you see someone who doesn't look as good as you, but they're in worship, you know what? You're one with them and they're one with you. We're all one. We're all one. There's no separation. We're all one. What happened? We're all one. We're all one. We're all one. We love Jesus. We love each other. We forgive each other because we're forgiven. We live sanctified lives where we honor God with our lives and we honor together because we are what? One. We're one. Ephesians 1:5. He's predestined you to be a son or a daughter. The groundwork's been laid. All you have to do is step up and embrace the cross of Christ. And you're a son or a daughter to the Father in heaven, through Jesus, empowered by the Spirit of God to live that sanctified life. You're predestined. It's been done. The deal's been set. The paperwork's been signed. The attorneys have all agreed. It's a done deal. You have been predestined, chosen, allowed, anointed, choose whatever word you want to embrace the cross. To be a child of God. That's you. Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation in you. That's why the woman ran. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because we're justified. If we were not justified, there'd be all kinds of condemnation. But there's no condemnation because we're justified. And we're justified through the cross. And we're children of God through Jesus Christ and His cross in the justification and sanctification and no condemnation for our sins as we confess those sins over and over. And strive in our sanctified lives to honor God by the power of the Spirit within us. Last one, Colossians 2:10. In Christ you have been brought to wholeness and fullness. Baby, you're complete. You're complete. You're not half done. You're not empty. You're complete. You're whole. Ephesians 1:3 says, you've got all the blessings. You've already received all the spiritual blessings of Christ. When? Now. When you embrace Him as your Savior, you receive all the spiritual blessings of Christ. And you're full. You're just full. You're just overflowing. You know how full you are? You know how full you are? You've taken your boat to the boat ramp. And you back that baby down in there. But it's low tide. And you got back a little further. And a little further. And a little further. And a little further. And when you get out of the truck and you step down, you step right into the water. And you have to walk out to the boat and the water and the tide's coming up your legs and it's getting your pants laid and you're going to get the truck seat all wet because now your jeans are wet and you're walking out and you got your shoes, your tennis shoes on and you go out and you push the boat off and then you say a few words to the boat because it's stuck on the trailer. In that particular moment, you may not be such a child of God in that moment. But you're coming back. You're coming back. And you're walking back to the truck. And just before you get up in the truck to pull the trailer, you step in your shoes to get the water to come out of them because it's oozing. You're so full that every time you walk now, your shoes squish water out. They squish water out. They squish water out. They just squish out that water. And they slosh. And they squeak. And they make an irritating noise like, and water comes out of them. That's how full you are. That's how full you are. They just ooze it out of you. That's who you are. That's who you are. As a child of God, that's who you are. So full of the love and the mercy and the compassion of God through Jesus Christ because He's filled you with it. Relive by the power of the Spirit that when you walk in this world, your shoes just squish out water because you're so full of it. Water. Water. So we bring Jesus in here and say, hey, why don't you sit down right there for us? And we're going to say to Him, who do you claim to be? And He said to them, before Abram was born, now you're reading this, you think He's going to say what? I was, past tense. But he said to them, I am, present tense. Now, you and I read that and we're like, huh? What kind of grammar is that? Couldn't he talk any better than that? But that crowd, remember the crowd? They're still here. They haven't left yet. They're still here. They're here. And when they hear him say, I am, they think of that. They think about their great, 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 great forefathers hanging out with Moses in Egypt. God called Moses. Say, hey, Moses. And God, and Moses said, yes. And God said, I want you to take people out of the promise, to the promised land. Get them out of Egypt. We're going to head up a couple weeks from now, and you head them on out of there. So Moses hangs up the phone. He goes, tells the people, pack up your stuff. We're getting ready to leave. And they're like, no, no, no. We don't want to go. We don't want to go. And it gets real ugly real quick. And finally, the people says, listen, big guy, who gave you the authority to come in here? So Moses runs back, gets on the phone, calls God. Listen, I'm in serious trouble. They want to know who's giving me the authority to do this. And God said to him, what? I am who I am. You ever have your parents tell you that? Why do I have to do this? Because I am who I am. Same, same. This is what you're to say to the Israelites. I am. I am. Has sent me to you. I am means I was, I am, I always will be. I was from the very beginning, I'll be to the very end. I was the creator of the world, I spoke the world into creation, and I'll be redeemed with you and redeem you into the everlasting heavens for eternity. I was, I am, I always will be. That's who he's telling the crowd that he is. He's the one. He's the one who spoke to Moses. He's the one. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always the same. He's always the same. And don't you see that it's because he's the same that you and I can live these lives of loving Jesus and loving each other and being justified and sanctified and being one and no animosity or hostility or any of that nonsense between one another, because we're all one. We're all one. And you say, well, that happened when? When Jesus became your Savior, you stepped into it. And the next moment, your shoes were wet. And the moment you started to walk, you started to squish. And you say, well, but I didn't really have a chance to do that. I mean, I've been going to church all these years, and I'm a good listener, but I'm not much of a doer. Well, the I am says, come do it. Come do it. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And so you see, it's got nothing to do with what happened yesterday, Saturday, yesterday, last Sunday. He's the same today. And he wants to fill you with his grace and his mercy and his love today, because he's the same as he was then. He's the same as the day he spoke to the crowd and he set the woman free. He set us free. And he's the same today. This very day, he is the same. And all he wants to do, you know what he wants to do? You know what he wants to do? You know what he wants to do? Make your shoes squeak when you walk. That's all he wants to do. Make your shoes swish when you walk. Because he's just going to fill you so much. And you're going to love him. You'll be justified, sanctified. You'll be one. You'll have the gateway to the kingdom of heaven open to you. Your life will never be the same the moment you embrace him as Savior. And if you've already done that, but you don't think your shoes are very wet anymore, if you think those shoes just, you know what shoes do after you get, what time is it? You know what shoes do after they get wet and you let them hang around for a while? You know what they do? And if you put, listen, voice of experience, if you take those shoes off and you throw them in the back of the cab of your truck, and you leave them laying there for a couple weeks while the sun comes and bakes that truck, you know what those shoes do? They get ugly. They get real ugly. If your shoes aren't wet anymore, Jesus is the same. He's ready to give you another dose and splash you and fill you. So you know that when you walk, You leave little wet footprints behind you. And people will look at you. People will look at you. They even look at the choir. People will look at you with little wet footprints, living in such a way that honors God through Jesus, empowered by the Spirit. And they're going to say, who's that person think they are? A child of God. I am a child of God. That's who I think I am. I am a child of God. Or you're going to go do something for somebody, and someone's going to see it, and they're going to say, oh, who do they think they are? Child of God. Child of God. I am a child of God through Jesus Christ, who died for me and has empowered me with His Spirit, that I can live and fight every day a sanctified life to the best of my ability. That's who I am. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. Now let us go and leave a little wet footprints everywhere we walk. Pray with me. We love you so much. If there's somebody in here today whose shoes have never been wet because they've never invited you to be their Savior, let them squish on their way out of here today. If there's a bunch of us in here whose shoes have dried up, let them squish as we walk out of here today, remembering who we claim to be, children of God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, empowered by His Spirit to be so. Let that be for us this day. We ask it in His holy name. Amen.